From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello, welcome to the latest edition of the Wildcast podcast. I'm Justin Spears here with Micah Lev. And before we talk some Arizona Wildcats football, make sure you download the podcast on the Wildcaster app or subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts. And of course, you can also listen to it on Tucson.com. And you can follow the Wildcaster on all social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Lev.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're not extra tan from coming back from Hawaii.
Well, I don't really tan that well, first of all. I'm pale, so that much is known. Also, we were very careful about sunscreen. My neck was pretty dark after our, I think it was Tuesday. We went, you know, snorkeling and boogie boarding. We were kind of at the beach all day long.
See some turtles?
I did not see turtles. Lots of fish, though.
Okay.
It was pretty awesome. But, yeah, you know, I wear a hat. I pull it down low. Gotta protect the moneymaker, man.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
But you had a great time in Hawaii, sounds like.
I did. Can't say that the Wildcats did.
Exactly.
Good segue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still kind of lingering, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time today that Kevin Sumlin had a chance to talk to the local media about everything that happened. So there's going to be some rehashing of the game. We can get into all that. My biggest takeaway from today is just that they spent last week on self-examination, self-critique. You know, let's look inward. What are the problems, and how can we fix them?
Mm-hmm.
He talked a little bit about some possible personnel changes. Didn't really get into a lot of details on those, which you can understand from a game plan perspective why he wouldn't want to do that. We'll see how that unfolds on Saturday night against NAU. He also talked maybe about some slight schematic tweaks that are possible on defense. We can get into those as well. What was your biggest takeaway from the press conference?
Getting more of a pass rush.
Yeah.
That was a big thing that, you know, Arizona really struggled with against Hawaii.
Our coverage was not very good. We couldn't get to the quarterback. The one time we did get to the quarterback, we hit him and got a penalty, right? But, you know, then he didn't return, so they changed quarterbacks. But, you know, our pass rush has got to be better, right? And I think there's a blueprint out there from that game that with the quick game and throwing that you know, we're going to have to change things up defensively and probably, you know, in pressure some more, but we have to cover. And, you know, they ran us out of man coverage early because, you know, they just ran us out of man coverage and we got the zone and we couldn't get there. So dropping eight. We changed a few things, but you know we've got to become we got to get more pressure on the quarterback. We just have to, and there's ways to do that. Obviously, without bringing six or seven or five, but you know when they go to empty and there's five receivers out there, you can do the math, right? So you can't bring all those guys and get there. But we have to do a better job of getting the quarterback, and then big plays, right? So explosive plays, as I said before, you know, I've been a lot of football games, but, you know, you got both teams. The positive was, back to your question, the positive was we averaged 7.6 a play offensively. The negative was they averaged 7.6 a play. So that's an issue.
Because you have to be able to help out the guys in the back end. You have to help out your cornerbacks, which I thought they did a great job. Jace Whitaker, Christian Roland Wallace, I thought they did great. Safeties, not so much. We'll talk about that in just a little bit, especially with Scotty Young. But you're not helping out your secondary if you're not getting any sort of pass rush. Because if you just let the quarterback sit there, he's got time to think. And when he's got time to think, a quarterback like Cole McDonald, he's going to do some damage with his arm. We saw that.
You can't cover guys forever. I think it was Coach Meat. Who said during training camp that the best pass coverage is a pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically had no pass rush. And the question I have is, how do you do that? You know, some of it, I think, is just winning the battles, right? Like J.B. Brown and Jalen Harris, they got to win, mm-hmm. period. I think some of it is scheme.
Yeah.
Like,
you have to put your guys in good position.
A lot of talk about the three-man rush, which I don't think was quite as prevalent of a thing – as I thought during the game, after like looking at all the numbers and so forth. I think, unfortunately, that they're going to have to blitz more than they want to. And I think they're going to have to get a little bit more creative as to how they do it. I didn't see, maybe I missed it, but I didn't see any defensive backs blitzing that entire game. I think all the blitzes I thought from my review was linebackers. I think we're going to have to get, you're going to have to do some stuff to confuse the quarterback.
Yeah.
Whether that's a corner blitz, safety blitz, do some of like the linebackers doing some crisscross type stuff before coming in, more stunts. They can't just line up with three or four guys and expect to get there.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we like the potential of guys like J.B. Brown and Jalen Harris, Kylan Wilborn, they're not at that point in their careers or in their development where they can just whip whoever they're facing every single time on every single snap.
Mm. And that also falls on the coaching staff.
Yeah, it does.
You have to put guys in position to succeed. And if they're not going to win those battles, like you said, what's going to happen when you're going up against a Stanford, a USC,
Washington,
an Oregon, where they have really great offensive linemen? So this was a wake-up call. I'm curious to see how they change it up against NEU. I don't think they're going to have any issues with NEU, but I also thought that they'd be okay against Hawaii. I didn't think they would give up almost 600 yards of offense.
I mean, the one thing that we know about NAU is they have a pretty good quarterback, right?
Yeah.
In Case Cookus, who's got a ton of experience. He's played against Arizona before. He's at this stadium. He's not going to be like overwhelmed by the situation that he's stepping into. And it'll be a good test to see if they can get pressure on him. Because if they can't get pressure on NAU's quarterback, they're going to lose to Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Alan Bauman, he passed for nearly 500 yards, I think, in week one. Obviously, I don't think Texas Tech played a very good opponent, but a lot of people thought Arizona wasn't playing a very good opponent either, and we saw what happened there.
So, Lev, you went back and watched the film.
Of course, I did.
After vacation, of course.
I did.
Your
first thing I did. Well, it wasn't the first thing. Maybe it was like the third or fourth thing. it was on my to-do list.
But you went back and you watched the film like you do with every game. And you mentioned it, and it was really interesting to hear Kevin Sumlin talk about it. And that is Scotty Young Jr.'s performance at that safety spot. Safeties overall, I thought they were one of the biggest reasons why Arizona's defense really struggled. It was the safeties and then the pass rush. But then you look at the safeties, it's Scotty Young Jr. is the face of that group, no?
Yeah.
And he was MIA during that game?
He just looked lost.
Irrelevant.
Yeah, he looked lost to me. Like, he just looked confused, uncertain, like, hesitant. Like, we're used to – I mean, the thing you like about Scotty Young Jr. is he's a playmaker, and he's aggressive, and he's thumping people. He had three picks last year.
Yeah.
Two in one game.
Mm-hmm.
Pick six against Cal, and that was when he was injured, didn't participate in the entire offseason, all that stuff. And then coming into this year, full off season of training with the team for the first time, new leadership role. You're sort of in that center fielder position back there where you can see everything in front of you. And I don't know. I remember Monty Kiffin when he was at USC would say like if you can see too much or if there's too much going on for a defensive player, that's bad. You don't want to. You need to sort of zero in on
tunnel vision,
your assignment, and very specifically focus in on like certain areas of the field. If you're sort of seeing everything, that it can be detrimental. And I felt like Scotty Young was maybe trying to do too much. Like, go back to your fundamentals. Go back to your basics. See ball, get ball. Or if a receiver comes in your area,
that's your guy.
Knock him down.
That's your guy.
Go try to disrupt the play somehow.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. Kevin Sumlin said he rode home on the plane with Scotty.
You know, I flew back. I rode next to him. He was not very happy about his performance. And we talked about that a little bit on the plane since it was 6-7 hours. But there's some things that he can do to help himself from an alignment standpoint and some things he did last week in practice from a technique standpoint that I think he he's looking forward to playing this weekend. And a lot of guys on this team are looking forward to playing this weekend. And you know, nobody in this building is real happy about what happened a week ago.
What did you tell him during that conversation on the plane?
I mean, we talked a little bit about I was watching the game. So, and, you know, he wasn't very happy about his performance. And I think he was embarrassed. And you know, we talked about, you know, what was going to happen this week from a leadership standpoint, from a personal standpoint, and how to get things fixed. So, you know, there weren't a whole lot of words on that plane from anybody at that time of night. But we've had time this last week to kind of talk about some things and show some examples and practice and work through some things. So that conversation was not very long.
And Scotty was obviously unhappy, which you like to hear, right? You know, after a performance like that, I'm sure he would be. He had one tackle the entire game, and a lot of the big plays happened in his area. So I'm sure that there was a lot of soul searching that went on with Scotty Young this week, or last week, and into this week. He's a player who really loves and cares about football, we've heard. So it's important to him. And I think we're going to see a better performance, you know. And I would like to see him not think so much. Just go out and play, you know. You've been doing this your whole life. Just go out and play ball.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to have any issues against any of you, even with a good quarterback like Case Cookus. I think you're going to see Scotty Young get back to his old self because, I mean, this guy, was he one of the top freshman defensive backs?
For sure.
When he was a freshman at the U of A a couple years ago?
Even last year when he was banged up, like, I think he had a pretty good grade from Pro Football Focus, you know? He's in a different role in a sense now in that Demetrius Flanagan Fowles is gone. He was sort of that calming veteran presence in the safety group. And even then 2 years ago, Dane Cruikshank was over there and kind of served that role too. They have Tristan Cooper in the room, but you know where he plays on the field, he's more in that near the line of scrimmage. So he's sort of separated from where Scotty was playing. He was playing a deep traditional center field type of position, and they just exploited that area between the linebackers and the safeties over and over again. Mm-hmm. I was saying to you before the podcast that despite the fact that Hawaii passed for 436 yards or whatever it was, I thought the cornerbacks actually played well, which is a crazy thing to say in a game where there are that many passing yards. But aside from that one touchdown that Christian Roland Wallace allowed, I saw a lot of good stuff from that group. It's the everything else on defense, from you know the defensive backs or the defensive linemen, the linebackers and the safeties that
which is have nuts to because all preseason
lot,
training camp. Outside of running back, what was the next position we would say was the deepest group for Arizona? Or the group that has the most depth?
I don't know about depth, but like frontline talent,
like
you'd say linebacker.
Oh, yeah, linebackers.
Frontline talent,
okay.
You'd say linebacker. You felt good about the safety group.
Yeah.
I would say you were encouraged about the depth on the defensive line being better. But it's always hard to tell when you're facing your own team, you know? And I don't know exactly how he phrased it today, but Kevin Sumlin said something about like life's about performance. He didn't say it exactly like that. I'm paraphrasing, but
life pays off on performance, and our performance was not very good, and it was not consistent. And so that will still be the message.
It's about the actual performance
results
under the lights. You know, you can talk all you want, but the only thing that matters is what happens when you go out there on the field.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about Arizona's lack of giving J.J. Taylor the ball or giving running backs the ball?
They didn't get the ball enough, period. Full stop.
A part of me wants to think, well, you know, they have all these new wide receivers, so maybe they were trying to set the tone, you know, build up some confidence, get Jamari Joyner going, get Stanley Berryhill, Cedric Peterson, get all these guys going, confident, and then you can have the running backs kind of take over the game. We didn't really see that throughout the course of the Hawaii game.
I mean, Kevin said that, you know, some of those early plays are RPO type of plays, right? And a decision is made pre-snap. I don't know if it's Noel Mazzoni making this call or Khalil Tate making this call, where you count the numbers of guys in the box, and if it's more than, you know, what's supposed to be there, then you go to play action, right?
Yeah.
You fake the handoff, you try to, you know, and he said the first play of the game was a quote-unquote shot play. It didn't pan out. To me, I would be stubborn about it, and I've been stubborn about this point, that I think that Arizona's best identity as an offense is a run-first offense with a lot of handoffs to running backs setting up Khalil Tate's runs and Khalil Tate's passes. And you have to stick with it if you're going to do it. Even if the numbers in the box dictate that it should be a pass, you don't care. You just come out and say, you know what? We're going to run the football. We're determined to do it. We're going to stick with it. This is going to be who we are. And it's going to work. And you tell that to the offense. You're an offensive lineman. You probably like to hear that sort of thing. Like, we are going to run the ball down their throats. And they are going to feel our presence out there on the field.
I mean, you love run block.
Yeah, right.
Offensive lineman.
I have never talked to an offensive lineman who said, oh, yeah, I prefer pass blocking over running back. I like
because when you're run blocking, you're going downhill.
Right.
When you're pass pro, you can't go more than a few yards upfield. So you're absorbing all the hits. If you get a blitzing linebacker, you're the one that's absorbing the hits. Where if run block, it's just downhill.
Yeah. He said, you know, I asked him specifically about the touches, 15 touches offensively. And he said he'd probably like to see JJ get a little bit more. Doesn't want him to be in that 30 range. But I think that if you're not giving JJ the ball like at least 20 times on offense in a competitive game, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah.
No matter who's behind him. I mean, this is your guy. He's an all-freaking All-American. Give him the ball.
Yeah.
You know, give him a chance to give him and the offensive line a chance to establish and find a rhythm within the course of the game.
What newcomer stood out to you during that game? There were a handful of them. You got Christian Roland Wallace, Jamari Joyner, Tavion Cunningham, a JUCO speedster that came in. I mean, there were a handful of new faces that got some playing time.
I would say there were a lot of them, which is a good sign. You mentioned a handful, but I'm going to say Bobby Wolf.
Oh, Hollywood
because for a couple reasons. One, he wasn't on the two deep, and he's the one who came in. It wasn't Samari Springs who came in when Lorenzo Burns got banged up. And he just looked like he might be one of those guys. Remember Coach Meat was talking about him in training camp, how there was sort of that, you know, welcome to college moment,
yeah,
right, where he just thought he was the stuff.
A little cocky.
Right, and, you know, it's like, oh, you know, everybody's good here. Maybe he's one of those guys who's a gamer, you know, because that's what I saw when I watched it live and then watched it again. Like, he's feisty. He's competitive, you know, and he's got that swagger where you can say, you know what, there's your man, and you stick with him, and he's going to do it. And, you know, he looked good in coverage to me. And there was a play, it was like maybe a 7-8 yard reception where, I mean, he threw the guy down after on making that tackle. That wasn't like some like light cornerback type tackle. It was like, you know, you can catch the ball, but you're going to feel it for me. So I liked what I saw out of him. You know, real quick, Coach Sumlin mentioned that Christian Roland Wallace had some sort of thigh issue. So maybe he wasn't running full steam. He did get beaten on that touchdown, but he played a lot of snaps in that game. I didn't see a lot of breakdowns from him either, so good sign. And what you might see a little bit moving forward, which is what they did in the game, is if the corners on the outside are like holding their own, it seems like they're doing well, they might move Jace around, Jace Whitaker. They put him on Cedric Bird in the slot for a good chunk of that game in the second half, and Bird didn't do as much. But on that last touchdown, Jace was on Cedric Bird in the slot. However, it was zone. So he passed him off. I mean, you can question, you can, if you want to second guess like schematics or whatever, game plan, I mean, you can question that specific play. Like, you've got Jace Whitaker, your best corner, on the best receiver. Why is he passing him off to a line? It ended up being, you know, Colin Schooler was the one who ended up
chasing
him up the scheme.
Colin Schooler should never be chasing a wide receiver like that down the field.
Right. So that's a questionable scheme. So that's the sort of thing I think that they're probably looking at this week, you know, to figure out, like, you know, how can we avoid having that sort of thing happen again?
My favorite Bobby Wolf quote ever.
Yeah, you talked to him, didn't you?
Did a Q&A with him last year, And he said, I don't care if you're a 5-star athlete or a 50-star athlete. It's my plate versus your plate at the end of the day. Like, he is confident up in his abilities to go up with any wide receiver on the other side. And like you said, you need a guy like that with that kind of swagger. And it was really cool to hear Coach Meat during preseason training camp say, yeah, you know, he came in pretty cocky, and then he had the welcome to college moment, you know?
So let's say that those guys develop, you know, and you Christian Roland Wallace and Bobby Wolf, and you feel confident enough in them to throw them out there and play man coverage, and you feel the same way about Jace, and you feel the same way about Lorenzo Burns. Well, I thought actually had a pretty good game aside from the one pass interference penalty, which was kind of debatable. I think to me, if you can do that, you can take more chances up front. But the safeties still have
When you say more chances, though, do you mean like more. Experiment?
Yeah, rushing 5, rushing 6.
Okay.
You know? But the safeties have to do their part, too. It can't just be the corners. And the safety play, as we mentioned, even Christian Young had a good game overall when you factor in the forced fumbles, but he struggled in coverage also.
Yeah.
And I suggested on Twitter that maybe, you know, in the future, linebacker might be his position. He's a little bit bigger guy.
Christian Young at linebacker.
Yeah, he's 6'2", 217. And you can – I mean, it wouldn't take much for him to put on another 10 pounds. Remember, Chase –
That's interesting you say that because one former Arizona Wildcat who's in the NFL right now, he just signed with the 49ers practice squad. Demetrius Flanagan Fowles.
He's playing linebacker.
They listed him as a linebacker, so maybe you could see some similarities.
I was thinking
there.
Too about Chase Hansen. Remember him? Utah. He played linebacker last year. He was a safety for his whole career. I mean, the game is changing that way.
Yeah.
You know, they're putting, like, guys who used to be safeties are now, used to be, like, quote unquote, in the box safeties are now linebackers. So I could see that for Christian, but I don't think they can do that now because I don't think they have enough depth at safety, and they have, you know, they have enough guys at linebacker.
Lev, real quick, before we get up on out of here.
Where are we, by the way? Justin, would you like to tell the people?
Yes. We are at McHale Center.
Yeah.
In the new athletic office.
The press conference room.
They renovated it, and it looks amazing down here.
Yeah, we're in the press conference room. Daniel Burke and Brett Gleason, the fine SIDs at the U of A, let us in here. And it's just like right across the room there is where, you know, you might chit-chat with Sean Miller or, you know, Sean Miller might tell you to go back to Phoenix.
I'll say a lot of tense moments have been in this room. before we get up on out of here, though, Lev, it was week 1 of college football, which means we got to see a full slate of Pac-12 football outside of the Arizona Wildcats.
I don't think I've ever watched more college football than I did this weekend. I was kind of under the weather a little bit. Arizona didn't play. I was working on fantasy football rankings, so I just had my computer here and my TV going here. So I saw a lot. Fire away.
USC. I think we got to start with them just because you covered them.
Yep.
For how many years?
Basically from like 08 to 15.
Okay.
With a little gap in the
middle. You've seen a lot
I have.
With USC football.
Oh, yeah.
JT Daniels goes down.
Yep.
ACL injury. Out for the season. A lot of people are really starting to not blame Clay Helton, but they're starting to put him on the hot seat.
I think he's on the hot seat.
I mean, I know he's been at a program like USC. You got to win to be on the hot seat. But it seems like people are already predicting that he's going to be gone just because of a starting quarterback injury.
Well, this doesn't help. They love the kid from Arizona, Keaton.
Oh, yes.
Who somehow escaped the grasp of Arizona State and Arizona wasn't on their radar. When you look at his offer list, it was a lot of like smaller schools and USC. So they saw something in him. They saw something in him in spring or training camp or whatever, to the point where they're elevating him over more experienced guys to be the number two. And he's going to be the dude here moving forward. It's always tough when you have a true freshman quarterback. I know that the game is changing. There's more 7-on-7. There's more private quarterback training. These guys are more ready than ever when they come into school. But there's still going to be ups and downs. It's just the fact. And Trevor Lawrence is the exception to the rule. I know Jaden Daniels, not to be confused with JT Daniels, had a really good game for Arizona State in his first game. But he's going to, at some point in time, run into some struggles on the road against tougher opponents. And this just makes things that much harder for Clay Helton and the Trojans, right? And they were he was already on the hot seat, you know, already like in an unusual position of kind of being underdogs in the Pac-12 South compared to Utah, which I think was pretty much the consensus pick to win the division. And now they have to do this with a true freshman quarterback.
And
tough
schedule isn't in their favor either. They host Stanford. KJ Costello, by the way, is what's the latest with him?
That looked like that was. I hate that it happened. That my team was the one that did him did him wrong with a dirty hit. But I mean, it was an elbow shot to the face, to the head, and he had to immediately come out of the game. So who knows? I mean, who knows what his status is? Mm-hmm.
But Stanford, top 25 team.
Yeah, Notre Dame.
At BYU.
Not easy.
They got to play Utah.
Physical team.
So the month, like the next month.
Between, their early schedule is brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
So USC, it's going to be interesting to see how they do, how they weather the storm over the next month. Because they have this rough stretch, and then they got to come here, right?
No,
they host Arizona.
Yeah, they host.
So that's kind of like
that might be their breather
their
game.
Finish line? I don't know at that point. But but outside of USC, there are other Pac-12 teams. Yeah. What did you think about the conference overall? I thought Oregon gave Auburn a really good shot.
I mean,
but
if Oregon had its wide receivers healthy, they probably win that game.
Yeah.
They played them down to the wire. It was a really tough physical game against a quality SEC opponent. It's a shame that the headline coming out of it is that, the Pac-12 blows it again because they played really well.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were more Auburn fans at Jerry World than there were Oregon fans. So I'd actually be encouraged by that. Washington, Jacob Eason looked really good, granted against Eastern Washington, but still that's a program that
greatest
has given,
field in college football.
It's a program that's given some Pac-12 teams trouble over the years. Mike Leach plugs in another quarterback, and they're just rolling up a gazillion yards. I was impressed, thoroughly impressed, I got to say, with Colorado. I know Colorado State is a Mountain West team, so is Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
But they came out with a physical mindset. And LaVisca Chenault didn't even do that much in that game, and they still scored, I think 52 points.
Wow.
So I don't think they're going to be an easy out. UCLA, a lot of injuries, man. A lot of injuries, number one. And number two, I was not impressed with Dorian Thompson-Robinson, even with all those guys being out. Turning the ball over four times, two of them unforced, just like dropping it while like cocking the ball to throw. Yikes, not good. Utah against BYU.
Man.
That was big boy football, and I thought the Utes just kind of, they did what they do. They ran the ball, they played physical, had some, they had a pick six, relatively low scoring game. That's what you're going to get from Utah. It's going to be
tough.
They
look good.
They look good.
They looked really good. And BYU's no slouch either.
I don't think so. I mean, I know BYU didn't have hasn't had a great record the last couple of years, but from seeing Arizona face them that it's going to be a really physical game. Like, they're grown men. Those guys go to school for a year or two. They go on a mission for 2 years. They come back. They're like 23, 24, 25 years old. That's a tough place to play, tough place to win, and Utah got the job done. Mm-hmm. Nothing about what happened this weekend changed my opinion about the Utes being the team to beat in the South.
All right. Let's get up on out of here. Yep. That'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Make sure you follow this man, Michael Lev, on Twitter, at Michael J. Lev. You can catch all of his content and this podcast on Tucson.com and the Wildcaster app. And make sure you subscribe to the Wildcast Podcast on Apple Podcasts. For Lev, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.